the Health Sciences Committee to order. That's why I came in, so I could do this with the hammer. Now, someone needs to mute themselves there, please.
Thank Regent you. Boylan, this is Regent Brown.
Yes,
we're just
ma'am.
Getting settled up here at TMCC. Give us just 30 seconds. Sorry about that. 29. All right, Regent Boylan, take it away.
Thank you, ma'am. Someone is going to take roll call.
Chair. I can take the roll. Chair
Thank
Boylan?
You. Yes, ma'am.
Vice Chair Del Carlo?
Here.
Regent Brager?
Here.
Regent Goodman?
Here.
Regent McMichael?
Here.
Regent Tarkanian?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, ma'am. I was just informed by our SCS staff about the echo, and so if we don't hear each other, we'll slow down. The first thing is the public comment, and I will now move to agenda item, which is number one, public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and then enter the meeting ID 928-4944-5069 and passcode 555-555. I'm purposely saying it slowly so you get that. 555-555 is the passcode. We will take public comment from the meeting sites first. Is there any public comment at GBC in Elko?
No, sir.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at System Administration in Las Vegas? No, there isn't. Okay. Is there any public comment there at TMCC?
There is not.
Thank you. SCS, is there any public comment in the phone queue?
Not at this time.
Thank you so much. Okay. Now the second, the second thing is the minutes for possible action. Before we go into taking a vote on this, I really would like to make a comment about it. And I find it disturbing, if I can find my notes here, that I was going to ask the AG's office or Consigliere Martinez about this statement that we have here, which to me sounds like it's not very helpful. At the end, when they roll everything into one and they just say Chair Boylan, Vice Chair, blah, 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 all the names right up to Dean Hopman again here, and addressed and discussed the following topics. Now, Council Martinez, I know it's not verbatim, and that's what I'm trying to make a point, that they can go somewhere and find it. But why is this done in such a way and we don't have a printout of the verbatim comments and discussion of the meeting. Is there a reason? Do we have a policy, board policy, NRS, OML? What is the reason? Because I don't want to go here and then go looking for the meeting online to see what somebody said. It's all yours, Mr. Martinez.
James Martinez, you, for the record. So I apologize, Regent Boylan. I'm trying to understand.
No worries.
I'm trying to understand your question. Is it on item number two on the minutes? Is it why the exact verbatim transcript is not in the backup materials?
Yes, and it could be handed separately to the regents, especially who are on that committee, so that we know that these things were actually said. That's my question. Is it a regulation? Is it OML? Is it?
Jimmy Martinez, for the record, we do have the video posted online, and I will let the AG, Rosalie Bordalove, speak on behalf of open meeting law.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So to explain the law's requirements on this, it sounds like there isn't a verbatim transcript kept of the meeting. It's not required under the law. The law requires for minutes that they include the subjects and basically the content of what was discussed, but it doesn't need to include word for word what was discussed. So the minutes that you're approving include what's required under the OML for minutes. A recording of the meeting is also required to be kept, and so it sounds like they keep a video recording, which you can have access to at any time if you would like. It's not auto-kept in there. But a verbatim transcript is not required. It can be made of meetings, but I don't think, and she has historically ever had a court reporter at meetings.
Thank you, ma'am. I think Regent Brager.
Well, if that answers your question, I would make a motion, if there's no additions or corrections, to accept the minutes as stated.
I second that. It's Regent Del Carlo.
Okay, I think Regent Brager made the motion and Regent Arcanian seconded that. But before we get to the voting, I still have to get this question answered. So it's not a regulation, a requirement, but the board could ask for that separately. It's not against any. Okay, but we could make it a policy or something. That's what my question was. Okay, so thank you for the motion and the second, Regent Arcanian. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now the second. Next thing I go to is the information. Public comment is done, approved minutes. The chair's report. Okay. I have a few things here that I looked at. Firstly, I thank Dr. Khan for being here. And I just lied to him and I said I only came here because of him. But I'm glad he's here. I had a few issues with this committee being set up. I know that everywhere and every time I hear this phrase, and I want to find it so I don't say it wrong, it's got to do with shared governance. Now, I'm not sure who my contact person was for this meeting or anything. I knew nothing about this meeting till I saw it in the agenda item, and I'm the chair of this meeting. No one informed me, no contact person, no chief of staff or chair, and these two items were in there, and that's it. I'm not sure what we do about this, Mr. Martinez, or Ms. Charlton. Why did this happen like this? I mean, we talk about shared governance. That's the one I'm looking for. When it doesn't happen to us, when we are not involved, then we say, oh, we should have shared governance and everything I've been hearing. in the last few meetings. And here I am, the chair of this committee, and I only get it in the agenda when I see the agenda come out. Anybody have something for me, Mr. Chair? That's Byron Brooks.
Yes, this is Vice Chair Escada. Regent Boylan?
Yes, sir.
Regent Boylan, I called your phone number listed on your NSHU website of 702-501-1444. I dialed it twice. Both of them went to voicemail, and I did attempt to call you. If you need any sort of documentation or a screenshot that I did attempt to call you to discuss these issues, you're more than welcome, and I can send it to you at your convenience.
That doesn't help me now. And I don't think you called just the day before you called me, I remember. So none of that helps me, Regent Arascada. But I thank you for calling me.
Yeah, I actually called over the past. It's been going on for the past 3 weeks, sir. So I have been calling. I've attempted to leave messages on your region phone, but it goes directly to voicemail or it's not set up. So thank you.
Are you responsible to do that for me, sir?
I'll come to you. When you're done.
That's what I'm not asking you, what anybody else has to say. And you called me and I thank you, but you're not responsible for that.
Mr. Chairman.
It's either the chair, the...
Mr. Chairman.
Who was that?
For the record, Executive Vice Chancellor Crystal Abba and Chief of Staff.
Sure, go right ahead.
So I apologize. This is on me. Unfortunately, I was on annual leave up until the day that the agendas were due. What we have on this agenda are the standard items that have occurred in the past. I did make an attempt to call you on that day. However, by the time, and there was no callback, unfortunately, but the agendas were due the very next day. So I apologize. That's completely on me, and we will make sure that in the future you and I are in better contact.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Regent Brager, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, once you got that answer, do you have a report, or do we need to move on to item number 4?
Oh, we'll move on when I say, but thank you so much for that. There's still more discussion to be done on that, because if we have just these two items, I want everybody to realize that we don't just have the two medical schools in the NSHU system. And it's about time we gave the other health sciences schools and colleges some importance and also heard from them. I'm going to put up something here that, and these are just some of the pages of all the different health sciences degrees and things that we have in this NSHU system. So it would be nice to hear from them and what they have to say and what they are doing. So it's not just, like I said, the two medical schools. I'll read a few for some of you who couldn't see that. Clinical medical assistant. Then there's the diagnostic medical assistant, sonographer. There's the dental schools. There's the health sciences schools. There's a whole bunch of things that we could have heard from. And this is another meeting wasted, because the last time it was the same thing, just the two medical schools. So I would really appreciate, sorry, go ahead.
Someone's just
talking. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. So Truckee Meadows has different great things out there. Nursing schools, emergency medical technician. So a few things, like I mentioned earlier in the other meeting, there were things brought up about different programs coming up that have to do with health sciences, but none of the regents in this committee were made aware of them. It seems we're always the last to hear that something's going on in our NSHU system. So I'd really appreciate something while Ms. Charlton is in charge of NSHU right now, we can say. I'd really appreciate some change in this, or if you could look into it and let me know. All right, and so, now, like,
yeah, so
go ahead,
Chair.
Who's this?
This is, for the record,
who's
Patty
this?
Charlton.
Yes, ma'am, please
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So I did want to, just in follow-up to Executive Vice Chancellor and Chief of Staff Crystal Abba's comment. So we have heard your concerns, and we will address this moving forward, and appreciate also your comments regarding our other institutions and their fabulous health sciences programs.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. That's awesome, because they're there. All right. And now, like Regent Brego said, she's tired of my chair's report. So we have item number four. This is an information-only item. And we have UNLV Kirkorian School of Medicine Dean, Dr. Mark Kahn here. Thanks for being here, sir. I appreciate it.
Sorry about that. Let me start over. For the record, Mark, M-A-R-C, J, Kahn, K-A-H-N. I'm the Vice President for Health Affairs and Dean of the Kirkorian School of Medicine at UNLV. Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, President, Chancellor, Regents, and guests, thank you for allowing me to make this presentation on the Kirkorian School of Medicine. If I could have my first slide, please. I don't know.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, so some quick announcements. Overview. The School of Medicine accepted its largest class to date of 66 students. As many of you remember, we have historically had 60 students in a class. We're allowed to go up 10% without accreditor approval. We have a regularly scheduled accreditation visit in 2025, at which point we are going to ask for an increase to 90 students a class. That's going to require an increase in our faculty that we're working on. We have a new beautiful facility, which will assist our ask, and we also have some financial security. So we're optimistic, but right now we have 66 students in the first year class. We started a learning community program, and this occurs in the school that I came from and in the school that my vice dean came from. And this is a way, really, of breaking down our medical students into smaller groups, sort of like those of you who are fans of Harry Potter, the houses. And these houses are going to provide peer-assisted education, and they're going to be really a source for community engagement and for learning. UNLV Health, our practice plan, we're under audit now by Grant Thornton, but from all accounts, we've finished in the black now for the third, at least the third close since I've been here. We continue to be engaged in the community as part of two school-based clinics that I'll talk about further along in my talk, and this is a mistake. Our external funding is actually up $9.9 million from last year, and last year was up $8 million from the year before. And I'll give those total figures in the research part of this talk. If I can have the next slide, please. We're now going to talk about undergraduate medical education. Next slide, please. So one of the nice things in our new building, next slide, please. One of the nice things in our new building is we have a facility now for human cadaveric dissection. So previously, we have taught anatomy virtually. We're going to continue to do that, but now we also have a facility for cadaveric dissection. In the new building, we also have a complete simulation center. We have an area for standardized patients, and we'd like to build out virtual reality education in medical school too. Using our standardized patients, and these are actors that simulate patients, we use them for both assessment of our students. We also use them for educating our students. Many of you may have seen a Seinfeld episode where Kramer participates as a standardized patient. And one of the things that Jerry asks Kramer is, do all medical schools do this? And Jerry says the good ones do. So, you know, we are doing this. And we're going to have put together really a 10 to 12 station exam that students are going to have to pass at the end of their second year and prior to graduation. We, are now integrating more direct patient-type care experiences for our first and second-year students, and we started a class in physicianship to teach people how to communicate, teach some of the principles of ethics and professionalism of our education. If I can have the next slide, please. We've talked a little bit about learning communities. We've also now gone to a more traditional block schedule for our curriculum. That's where students spend 1 to 2 months with a particular specialty during their third year. We started a peer-assisted learning program through the learning communities where students basically teach each other. And we have gotten 2 external grants to fund student-based clinics in our community. And again, this is a really important mission for us, that of community engagement. If I can have the next slide, just to say we've already oriented our freshmen for this year several months ago, and we've had orientations for them and their parents. Next slide. Our students had a very successful match. Everyone matched. And without going through this, in your packet, I have a list of where, what specialties the students matched in. On the next slide, I talk about how many went into a primary care specialty. That's about 47%. The next slide, I talk about how somewhere around 38% of our students stayed in Nevada for residencies. We'd like that to be much higher, but remember, we don't have enough residency programs here in Nevada. If I can have the next slide, and probably the one after that, one more. This is a list you can look in your packet of where our students matched. Again, a lot stayed in Nevada, but also some went to neighboring states and to some very good schools across the country. If I can have the next slide with admissions data. I think we're about 2 behind. One more, please. Perfect. So we received 1,560 applicants for our 66 spots. Most of them, most of the students that we accept are from Nevada. We have great ethnic diversity in our class. About 38% of our students are first generation, and we're really happy with the diversity that we have in the class. If I can have the next slide, we have 36 women and 30 men in the class, and again, the vast majority are from Nevada. If I can have the next slide, please, just showing you some of the schools that students have come from. You can look at that on your own. If I can have the next slide, we're now going to skip ahead from undergraduate or medical student performance to graduate medical education. Those are our residents and fellows. Next slide, please. We welcomed 88 new residents and 24 fellows. Next slide, please. We have 11 residency and 11 fellowship programs. We've actually implemented a 6-week paid medical leave as required by our accreditors. And we recently started with the coroner's office, a new fellowship program in forensic pathology. If I can have the next slide and we can jump ahead too, I want to talk a little bit about research. So again, our new awards are up by over almost $10 million over last year. We now have about $21.7 million in external funding, and as of June 30th. And we continue to, our faculty continue to write grants and projects. If I can have the next slide. In 2023, we had 31 proposals submitted for a net yield of $19 million. We really need to grow out our clinical trials. That's good for our community. It's good for us. It's good for our hospital partner, UMC. We currently have 7 clinical trials. 3 new trials are in the pipeline, and we're actively recruiting faculty who will be involved in clinical research. If I can have the next slide, this is just a list that you can look at where some of our funding comes from. Some of it's state, some of it's federal. Grants such as a geriatric workforce enhancement project, a first episode psychosis project, and residency training in mental and behavioral health, to name a few. If I can have the next slide. Again, we've received a Ryan White grant for the care of HIV in children. We've also have a grant to study radiation exposure in Nevada and some others. Next slide, please. This is just a continuation of some of our grants, including a COVID-19 healthcare disparities grant. We feel that we need to lead in health disparities, and we're working hard to put together research teams to study health disparities. And finally, we received a family planning grant. We can skip ahead two slides. I'd now like to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, an important mission for us. We hosted the 6th annual pre-medicine conference for diversity, equity, and inclusion. We completed the second year of a pipeline program known as the Gateway Program, and we continue to reach out to high schools and junior high schools to make sure students are considering careers in health sciences. If we can skip ahead two slides, I'm going to talk a little bit about development. Unfortunately, my principal development officer was out for several months this year, but we brought in somewhere between $3 and $4 million. We continue to raise money for our white coat campaign. We've also raised money to name a scholarship in honor of an alumnus. We unfortunately had the tragic homicide of one of our residents, and we've raised money for a scholarship in her honor. And again, continue to raise money for student scholarships, endowed professorships, and other things that are really mission critical. If we can skip ahead two slides, I want to now talk about UNLV Health, which is the practice plan. We're recruiting over 100 faculty over the next year or so. We're going to both grow programs that we have, like primary care, and also reach out into some new areas. Particularly, we have some money to start fellowships in hematology, medical oncology, and rheumatology. We're actively recruiting faculty in those subspecialties. Training programs in those subspecialties otherwise don't exist in our state. We're also actively looking to build a neurology program and some other specialties. If I can have the next slide. We've partnered with the School of Nursing in a primary care clinic at our behavioral health center, the Mojave Clinic. And we're building interdisciplinary teams with nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants, et cetera, and really taking advantage of the health sciences found at UNLV. As I mentioned, we now have two school-based clinics in Clark County, and these clinics serve a population of students that are otherwise unserved. About 60% of them have no insurance. Some of them are eligible for Medicaid, but due to fear of deportation, et cetera, these students do not have insurance. This is really a critical feature of what we do, working with the school system, getting out in the community and providing health care. We'd really like to do more and more of these. They do cost money. We're the recipient of a generous philanthropic gift to start one of those clinics, and we're looking for continued philanthropy so we can really engage much, much more with our school children in our community. We've also joined an accountable care organization that's going to allow us to practice value-based care and to learn some of the principles to do that. If I can have the next slide, we now are seeing over 150,000 people in clinic with almost 100,000 inpatient and surgery visits. The practice plan is predicted to be in the black. We're under audit by Grant Thornton, but we have all assurances that we did finish in the black, which is good for us. So in summary, we're doing a lot of things. There's a lot more we need to do. We need to continue to engage in the community. We need to continue to grow our faculty, and we need to continue to provide care for our community, and especially in areas that are otherwise underserved in our community. And with that, I thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Dr. Khan. That was a great presentation. I have one question, and then I'll go to Regent Brager. The question is, you have this partnership I just saw with UNLV Nursing. Do you also have something like that with any other nursing programs in the community colleges, or is it just with UNLV?
So, for the record, Mark Khan, Dean Kirkorian School of Medicine. Mr. Chair, so we are starting... For the past several years, really, we've been working on building an academic health science center within the university, and those are the health science schools, so we're starting there. but we certainly don't object to having input from nurses throughout the system. Again, medicine is a team sport, and it's best practice that way. And we need to train a variety of healthcare professionals for the community, both at UNLV and really within the NG system.
Thank you, Dr. Khan. Appreciate that. And I go to Regent Braga. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Khan. Just a question when you stated, and I've known for a lot of years, having served on UMC in Southern Hills, the residency slots. How do we go about that to make sure that that's the problem? What is it? Is the GME or G? Mm-hmm. Okay. Without that, because it, let me go back a second. The stats are when they go away to school, they rarely come back to the state they started at, whether it was their home or not. And so to encourage our medical industry to become larger, what is that going to take, and how do we as a board help that happen?
Thank you, Regent. For the record, Mark Khan. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Data from Mr. Packham at our sister institution at UNR suggests that if a student goes to medical school in Nevada, they have a 50% chance of practicing here. If they do residency, that goes up to almost 80%. My colleague and now friend Paul Hauptmann, who you're going to hear from next, and I have gone to the state legislature this session together, walk the halls, and trying to get support for state-funded graduate medical education. Historically, graduate medical education or residencies and fellowships are funded by the federal government through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And those positions were frozen in 1990, a law that was passed in 1996 and enacted in 1997. Nevada is woefully, woefully undersubscribed. Dr. Hauptmann and I recognize this. The state has generously provided some money. We're going to continue to push for more and more money because I think I don't believe we're likely to get a lot of increase in GME funding at the federal level, but it's really going to, I think, require some state resources to be able to do this. We'd love the support. Dr. Hauptmann and I talk about this whenever we work together. And again, it's something that the state desperately, desperately needs. There are areas in medicine that we do not have training programs. They include dermatology, and we're a sunny state. Hematology, medical oncology, we're an aging population, and we plan to start a program. And then some of the programs we have, we train 10 residents a year in pediatrics. We train 5 in obstetrics and gynecology. I know my colleague, Dr. Hauptmann, has plans for an OBGYN residency in Reno, and that's desperately needed. And we're going to work together to try to make sure some of these things happen. But in answer to your question, we need to be heard. We need to be vocal. We need to talk about this whenever we can, because you're spot on. If we don't get the residency positions, it's really going to be a challenge to get the doctors in our state and doctors that we desperately need.
Okay. Then I'll ask another question in relationship to that. So we as a board, in a meeting that we might have for the future, need to really prioritize and reach out not only to the federal but our state legislators and work with you and have the same message. So thank you for that. It's long coming, and exactly as we do, we can't keep crying about wanting doctors if we're not able to train them and have residency programs here. My other one is anesthesiology is really, unfortunately, we do not have enough anesthesiologists in our state, let alone in our county. Is that something we need to look into, or how do we get, and I don't want to belabor it here. I'm happy to meet with you, but I think we all need to know that these are two factors. The residency program, anesthesiology as a program, are just very, very, and very important. Probably I'm dangerous because I've served on boards for so, hospital boards for so long.
Regent Barger, this is Mark Khan again for the record. So again, you're spot on. We've been working with our partner UMC with plans to start an anesthesiology residency. We agree. The situation is rather dire for anesthesiologists in our community. And again, we're working with our partner UMC to build a residency program, hopefully within the next 24 months.
Which is way too long. Thank you, but happy to be an advocate. And I believe this whole board does realize how important, why the GME and what it means. And we need to get there because we do have an aging population and more people are coming, 115 people a day. Yeah. And so that does require a lot of resources. So thank you very much for those good answers.
And I think I speak for my colleague, Dr. Hauptmann. We'd be really pleased to work with you to try to, yeah.
Thank you, Regent Brager. Great questions. Actually, your first question was going to be mine, but you phrased it better than me. Dr. Mark Kahn, any other questions from any other committee members or any other regents? I know everybody wants to pick Dr. Khan's brain, but we let you go, Dr. Kahn. Appreciate your coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we go to your buddy. Let's go to UNR Medicine. Sorry, it's Dr. Hauptmann, Dean of the school up there. Is he there? Oh, there he is. Okay. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Boylan, Vice Chair Del Carlo, Chancellor, and members of the committee. For the record, Paul Hauptmann, Hauptmann, Dean at the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine. I want to preface my comments by just saying what a pleasure it is to work with Dr. Kahn. You've got the two public medical schools in the state working closely together, and that's a real positive. If I can have the next slide, please. I'll offer some brief comments today about commencement, accreditation, graduate medical education, research, a leadership update, philanthropy, and an affiliation update. If I can have the next slide, please. We had a lovely event in May of this past spring, commencement, but also celebration of the inaugural class at the University of Nevada School of Medicine, as it was known at that time, the class of 1973. We graduated 58 students. Our commencement speaker was a prominent scientist, Dr. Mark Feinberg, who's president of the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative, and as noted, the 50th anniversary of the class of 73, which included a time capsule reveal. The class had placed in a wall in one of our laboratory buildings items, and at 50 years, we took out the capsule and celebrated with them, and then the class of 2023 put items back in the capsule, and it was sealed for opening 50 years hence. I'd like to thank the regents who were in attendance, Regent Del Carlo, Regent Arascada, and Regent Downs. If I can have the next slide, please. And so on the upper right is our speaker, Dr. Feinberg, and a member of the class of 1973 in the bottom right going through the items in the capsule. And next slide, please. So in terms of accreditation, I'm happy to report that our PA Studies program received full accreditation for the first time. We are in the process of renewed accreditation for speech pathology and audiology that will be due in 2024. The Student Health Center also was reaccredited. For the School of Medicine, we rely on the Liaison Committee on Medical Education. We anticipate a site visit in the fall of 2025, and very rigorous strategic planning is currently underway. Next slide, please. In terms of our ranking in the U.S. News and World Report, we rank number 28 in the most diverse among medical schools as being most diverse in terms of our student body, 34th with most graduates practicing in medically underserved areas, ranked 51st in most graduates practicing in rural areas, and 94th in terms of our research dollars, which for a community-based medical school is, I think, quite impressive. As you may know, a number of medical schools around the United States have publicly announced that they are going to withdraw from the U.S. News and World Report. The number now is over 12. And we're considering that, but at the present time, we're still providing data to U.S. News and World Report. We have had a number of new courses, mostly for our fourth-year students, including a new elective, AI in medicine. We're developing an elective in the business side of medicine. And our fourth-year students continue to enjoy a fourth-year rotation at the Betty Ford Center in Rancho Mirage, California, and they've called it a transformative rotation. If I could have the next slide, please. So the class of 2027 is in place. They've matriculated. We received 1,664 applications, 666 secondary applications. We interviewed 343 students to matriculate 70. 91% of the students are from Nevada, 39 women and 31 men. 70% are NSHE grads. Their average GPA is shown on the slide. And a number of the students come from our Pathways programs. Next slide, please. Dr. Kahn spoke a lot about GME. This is a real focus of ours as well. As many of you know, we launched a pediatric residency program this year. There's one mistake. The second bullet should say four first-year interns. There's one second-year resident and one chief resident, so we went from zero to six in 1 year in terms of the number of residents. We're also in the beginning stages of developing new programs. Dr. Khan mentioned that we really want to pursue an OBGYN residency, several fellowships with anticipated launch dates of 2026 and 2027. As Dr. Khan also mentioned, funding is definitely key. Next slide, please. I'd like to just point out that we're doing quite well in terms of research. We've requested over the last year $180 million worth of funding. Of course, we don't bat 100 and we don't bat 50%, 1,000 or 500 for that matter. The three basic science departments take the bulk of the funding: physiology and cell biology, pharmacology and microbiology. Next slide, please. Just a few highlights for clinical science. We're very proud of Dr. Laurel Toft, a cardiologist who has had multiple publications recently in the area of cardiac arrest and CPR. She's received funding from the Small Business Innovation Research Fund at the federal level to use interactive digital media to teach CPR to high school students, and American Heart Association funding as well. We've made great strides in our clinical research thanks to the effort of Dr. Farah Lovely. Next slide, please. Here is a listing of clinical trials in collaboration with our partners at Renown Health. 104 trials are active. The majority of them are in oncology and related diseases. Next slide. I'm happy to report that we have a new chair of psychiatry and behavioral sciences, Dr. Takesha Cooper, who comes to us from the University of California, Riverside. Dr. Bill Plouffe, the new CMO at Renown, was named Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs. We have three active searches underway. I'm proud to report that we are closing in on finalizing a new chair in internal medicine, and hopefully we'll have an announcement within the next week on that. It's a prominent scientist who is in New England. Next slide, please. In terms of our philanthropic support, $2.7 million was raised last year to support a number of areas, including one of the muscular dystrophies, cancer immunology, cardiovascular inflammation, and neonatal digestive health. Some of the money went for scholarships and awards for our high-achieving students, as well as the student outreach clinic, integrated behavioral health services, rural medicine, and an aphasia camp that was sponsored by the speech pathology and audiology program. Next slide, please. I just want to mention that we're working on team building and on professionalism, and we brought everybody together for a wonderful night at the Reno Aces and had a lot of fun. And Tammy Brandkamp in that photograph, who is the interim chair of speech pathology and audiology, actually throughout the first pitch. So with that, I'll conclude and happy to answer any questions.
Dr. Hoffman, thank you so much for that. Any questions from any of the regions? If there are none, I have just one question, if you don't mind staying there. Otherwise, I'll have to get Dr. Mark Kahn to get up from his comfortable chair and walk up to the podium. He mentioned something about those acting cadavers or something. What was that term? Cadaver or something? Give me a brief. How does that work? Do you poke them and slice them and dice them, or what do you do? How does that work?
Thanks for the question, Chair Boyle. And for the record, Paul Hauptman, Dean at UNR Med. We have, both programs have active gross anatomy courses where cadavers are dissected under the tutelage of experienced anatomists, and it's done in a very systematic manner, usually through systems. And it's really very well received by our students. It's. I think if you were ever in Reno again and wanted to see it, we'd be happy to take you or any of the regents on a tour of the facilities. They're really state of the art.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Chair Boylan?
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Regent Arascata?
Oh, Regent Arascata, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Dean Hoffman, and I'm going to forward this over to Dean Kahn also, but Dean Hoffman, on page 5 of the presentation, you highlighted some of the accreditations for the PA program, speech pathology, and audiology program. What are the current number of applicants and what is the number of acceptance? As you were talking about earlier for the UNR class of medicine, 2027, you had 1,664 applicants and you matriculated 70 students. So I was just curious how many students you have applying for the PA program and the speech pathology program and how many seats are available in each cohort.
Thanks for the question, Regent Arascata. For the record, Paul Hauptman, Dean at UNR Med. The PA program actually screens a similar number of candidates, over 1,500 candidates for 25 slots. So it's a highly competitive process in our PA program as well. The speech pathology and audiology program is largely for undergraduates. There is a master's degree program in speech pathology, and there are on the order of about 20 students in any given year who are pursuing master's degrees.
Excellent. Thank you, Dean Hauptman. Thank you, Chair.
If I can get this working. Thanks, Regent Arascata. Good question. If there are any other questions for Dr. Hauptman or Dr. Khan?
Chair Boylan, I have a question.
Yes,
this is Regent
yes.
Del Carlo.
Please, Regent Del Carlo, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair Boylan. Back to Dr. Han, Hauptman, back to the PA program. I know it's been wildly successful with 25 slots. What's it going to take to scale that up? Because, I mean, with so many wanting that program, and I wouldn't think it'd be quite as costly as a student that goes through a four-year medical school. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
Thanks for the question.
I get asked that question.
Well, thanks for the question. For the record, Paul Hauptman, Dean at UNR Med. One of our limitations is finding adequate clinical rotations for both the medical students and the PA students, and we're cautiously optimistic with our affiliation agreement that we're going to be able to expand the number of opportunities for our students, and that will lead to a request for an increase in class size.
Did that answer your question?
Yes,
Regent
it does, but
Del
I do
Carl?
Have one more question.
Please go right
ahead. For Dean Hauptman. I know when I was a brand new regent, they had a wonderful doctor for the day program at UNR, and I don't think it happened because of COVID. This is before you came. And people in the community, regents, especially new regents, were invited to come. And, like, we got a white coat that morning, and we went through the day, and I'll never forget going into the cadaver lab and being reminded of biology class in high school, but it was really interesting day, and I think we all got a lot out of it, and I was just wondering if there's any plans in the future to do that again.
Regent Del Carlo, thank you for the question. For the record, Paul Hauptman, Dean at UNR Med. We have had some internal discussions about revitalizing that program, so more to follow on that. The question really is the targeted audience. Who should we bring in on that? There'd probably be a lot of community interest, but we would have to limit the size, obviously, and scope of Doctor for a Day. But we'll definitely take that back, and I appreciate the suggestion.
Anything else, Regent Del Carlo?
No, thank you. Thank you.
That was great. See, I learned something I didn't know about that. That's great. And I appreciate Dr. Hauptman talking about the physician's assistant program as well as the speech pathologist and a ton of other things. Like I said, I have tons of pages here that even I didn't know that we had so many programs in our health sciences, and we need to sing their praises to let the students know that we have so much to choose from. Thank you so much, sir.
I appreciate
your time. Any other questions? Okay. All right, let's go to item number 6. This is new business, information only. And I'll ask not just the committee members, but any of the regents there, do you have anything for new business? All right, great. So we have nothing for new business. Let's go on to number 7, which is public comment. Of course, again, it's information only. I better read my, that the young lady gave me to read out, and I'm not supposed to read it at this time. So we'll take public comment from the meeting sites first. Right? We got that right? We don't have to read it out? Right, ma'am. Thank you. But we don't have to read that thing about the telephone thing again.
It's
just right, right. I want to make sure. Okay. Is there any public comment up in GBC and Elko?
No, sir.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at System Administration Las Vegas? No. All right. Is there any public comment at TMCC?
None at TMCC.
All right. That sounded like the beach or something. There it comes again, the waves. Is there, okay. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone queue?
Not at this time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Well, that brings this meeting to an end. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Appreciate it. Do I get to do this again, Matt? Oh, thank you. I like that.